Going Linux, episode 118, Remote Assistance Software for Linux. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. So, Larry, today we are recording on the day of the release of Ubuntu 10.10.
Yes, and it is 10-10-10.
10-10-10.
October 10th, 2010.
There it is. And yeah. Our chief executive minion, Bill, jumped the gun and installed it yesterday. And
so he's got the alpha release.
Yeah. No, I think he's got the final, but they leaked it a little early.
Ah, very good. Well,
and he did an upgrade, not a reinstall, and he said that went perfectly.
Okay.
And his initial thoughts were he was very pleased with it. Very finished looking, he said. Ubuntu 1 is hassle-free now, or close to it. And what else? Oh, I know. He said his he thinks he got extended range on his Wi-Fi, of all things.
Oh, wow.
He's seeing neighbors that he doesn't think were there before.
Huh. Well, perhaps the Wi-Fi driver is working more efficiently with his wireless N or G or whatever he's got.
Sure.
Or maybe all of his neighbors simultaneously upgraded their routers. That could be.
Or moved them near to Windows.
Yeah, maybe.
This'll get that, Bill.
I don't think I'm going to download Ubuntu 10.10 today because I know there'll be a huge crush to get it on its day of release.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait until sometime next week and download it. But one of the features that I'm looking forward to is on my laptop, I have a Synaptics multi-touch trackpad.
Oh, okay.
And right now, some of the features don't work, even with the out-of-the-box Linux driver for trackpads that have multi-touch.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the newer trackpads that are offered on HP laptops. And it's got some funky hardware keys for the left and right mouse button, which those things don't even work properly. So, I mean, it's not unusable. It's quite usable. It's just that you can't use it the way it was designed to be used. And I understand that in Ubuntu 10.10, there's going to be support for multi-touch, specifically for multi-touch trackpads. So I'm hoping it will fix those issues with my trackpad.
Yeah, I'm going to wait a while. I'm still on 9.04. I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah, maybe one of these days you'll upgrade to 10.04 long-term support or something.
And I tend to be kind of cautious about switching anyway, and I like the way this works. And the next one after this one, 9.10, screwed up my Skype. So
yeah. Well,
I use Skype a lot.
I know, and it's come a long way though.
Okay.
So
maybe I'll try.
Just make a backup, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are also releases of Fedora coming out and releases of OpenSUSE and all those sorts of things. So I may try some of those as well.
Sure.
But probably, unless I see something absolutely wonderfully different so much better that I can't refuse it, I'm going to stick with Ubuntu, I think.
That's how I'm working it.
Yeah. All right. Well, and before we get into our episode on remote desktop assistance with Linux, this episode of Going Linux is sponsored by our wonderful sponsor, Audible. And if you listen to it, Audible has it. With over 75,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a 14-day trial today by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux.
Right. And once again, that's audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux, and you spell Audible Podcast, AudiblePodcast.com/goinglinux, and that Audible Podcast is all one word.
Yes.
And we mentioned that we're recording on 10-10-10, which just happens to be 42 day. And now all of our listeners, except for a few geeks, are scratching their heads and going, what the heck is Tom talking about? Well, if you take the numbers 101010, those are the binary representation of the number 42, which, for Douglas Adams fans, is the answer to the question, the meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
And, of course, this comes from
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes, wonderful book. And the tie-in is it's available on Audible.
There you go. Yeah, you can make that your free first book from audible.com. And it's narrated by Stephen Fry, a very good reader. And that runs just under 6 hours for free.
Yeah, very, very good.
And I think we can put a link to that Audible selection in our show notes.
I think so, too. Yes.
And also an explanation of 42-day for those who are still confused.
Right. And I think...
That's everyone.
If it works out here, I can play a little preview of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as narrated by Stephen Fry.
We'll give it a shot.
Chapter 1. The house stood on a slight rise just on the edge of the village. It stood on its own and looked out over a broad spread of West Country farmland. Not a remarkable house by any means. It was about 30 years old, squattish, squarish, made of brick, and had four windows set in the front of a size and proportion which more or less exactly failed to please the eye. The only person for whom the house was in any way special was Arthur Dent, and that was only because it happened to be the one he lived in. He had lived in it for about 3 years, ever since he had moved out of London because it made him nervous and irritable. He was about 30 as well, tall, dark-haired, and never quite at ease with himself. The thing that used to worry him most was the fact that people always used to ask him what he was looking so worried about. He worked in local...
So there you go. That's a little sample of the book. And now you've heard Stephen Fry and... The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is just a superb book.
As always, go back to our previous episodes, and if you are a Linux-only user and you would like to ensure that Audible comes out with its Linux version of its reader, of course they have an Android version right now that should be portable over to straight Linux. So if you're a developer, help them out. We've got several mentions of that in previous episodes. There's a link to get to their website and help them out.
And if you're a listener and you figured out how to use the Android port and use it over on Ubuntu or something, let us know about that too.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I haven't even tried that, but that would be interesting. All right, Tom, so our topic for this episode, remote assistance software for Linux. One of the weaknesses of supporting Linux computers as a Linux user is that there are not as many good screen sharing, remote control, and collaborative tools that work not just from Linux to control and support Windows computers, but from Linux to support Linux computers.
Sure.
And, you know, there aren't that many Linux users out there to support as compared with Windows users. So the average tech person that offers support is going to be supporting many more Windows users. And that's important for those folks that we want to get moved to Linux.
Right.
But for those people who are already on Linux, we thought it would be a very good idea to provide at least a high-level review of some of the tools that are available for supporting Linux computers remotely.
Right. And by supporting, that's not just grabbing the other fellow's keyboard and mouse. It's also things like document collaboration and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a number of software programs that are either heavily advertised or are in heavy use, but most of those either don't support Linux at all, support Linux as a viewer but not a client. In other words, you can support other computers from Linux, but you can't support Linux computers from any other kind of operating system. And then there are others that simply don't provide anything more than viewing and collaboration. They don't really provide the
remote desktop.
Yeah, where you're actually controlling the computer on the other side, which often is needed beyond just the seeing the other person's screen. You oftentimes have to actually be able to control it, because you can't convey the what you're trying to get the user on the other end to do. It's oftentimes easier just to
show them
their keyboard and mouse and
right.
go do it. Yeah. So let's kind of run down some of the software that we've identified, Tom.
Okay. Well, this whole episode is going to be really off the cuff. So if it doesn't sound as polished as usual, it's because we're just stumbling into it.
It's because it's not as polished as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to try some of this stuff on the fly, and some of the other stuff we're just going to mention and not try it for various reasons. And one thing that's a resource for this episode is an alternative2.net posting that actually lists a large number of alternatives to providing remote support using Linux or from Linux or supporting Linux. And we have to say that it's quite an extensive list. It appears to be listed and rated by users of the software. And there is on that site, which of course we'll include a link in our show notes to, there is a clear winner, and we'll reveal that clear winner at the end of this podcast.
Oh, okay. You're teasing them.
Aha. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
All right. See, I got a little bit of marketing in me.
There you go.
All right. So going down the list of the ones that we've either tried or tried to use or have had some experience with, and then one that we haven't had any experience with, and that's the clear winner of all of these.
Sure.
Let's just kind of walk down this list. So GoToMeeting. That's one you've heard advertised on television, on radio, on podcasts, everywhere.
Yeah, you're sick of it.
Yeah, you're sick of the ads at the very least. And it's extremely heavily advertised, but it has absolutely no support for Linux. You can't go to a GoToMeeting and participate as a participant if you're running Linux. You can certainly not host a meeting. And so for Linux users, it's absolutely useless. You may as well ignore it. Exactly. The next one you may hear advertised quite a bit is a program called LogMeIn. Now, LogMeIn is a very, very nice program in that it gives you access and control of remote computers very seamlessly. It works across firewalls and networks and all of that.
So you don't have to port forwarding on your
That's
router?
Right. That's exactly right. You install it on both ends of the connection, and it works just perfectly regardless of whether you're behind a firewall or even behind a corporate firewall as well. Even if they've got all kinds of barriers up, it seems to work. Now, they can shut it down with some fancy footwork on a corporate network, but by blocking the port that it uses, that would be the easiest way.
Sure.
But without those kind of drastic measures, it works just fine across corporate boundaries, if you will. And they have a free version, but unfortunately, the free version and even the paid versions cannot control a Linux machine.
Oh, deal breaker.
Yeah, you can use it on Linux to control other computers. And I have used it from my Linux machines to control Windows computers. No problem at all. And they have a version for Mac that works. But if you're running a Linux machine and trying to provide support for people on the other end, you're absolutely right, Tom. That's a deal breaker. Doesn't work.
Okay. But I can still see people who are administrators of WM machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running their Linux machine at home because it's a better operating system.
Yep.
Using this, it sounds like a great deal for those people.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter what kind of a machine you're running, you can support other, as you put it, W machines out there. Yeah. The next one is a software program that does provide remote support that I have actually done a little free advertising for. It was a little bit of a send-up of the GoToMeeting ads that I got so tired of. And that is Yugma, Y-U-G-M-A. We've talked about it here on the show before. It is overall not free. They do have a free trial period, but to use all of their features on an ongoing basis, you do have to pay them, but it works great. And they provide a lot of collaborative stuff, be able to do screen sharing.
You and I tried this a while back, I remember.
We did. Yes, we did. And we had a little bit of trouble, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think that was me being thick.
Yeah, it was some installation trouble.
You had used it before. I had not. And so you were sailing. And I was confused.
But it's okay. And you can, with the paid version or during your free trial before it expires, you can do desktop control and that sort of stuff. So you can exchange the ability to control a desktop. And so it's very good software for doing that. I still have my free version up and running. Of course, that's only going to allow us to share our desktops back and forth. And we can run that if we wish. Some problems with the Yugma interface, though, is that I have noticed that their window appears as a vertical bar. It's, you know, it takes up maybe, depending on your screen size, a quarter of your screen or less, side to side.
Yeah, that's what I'm remembering too, a strange window that you had to work in.
Yeah, and then the height of the window, though, is a problem or will be a problem with many of the laptop computers that are coming out today that have a 1024 by 900 or 800 screen resolution,
right,
or maybe 1440 by 900. The bottom part of the window gets cut off because it's too large. It's too tall and you can't resize it.
You can't scale it.
Yeah. Now, the only thing you're really missing is text, chat, and a little ad to upgrade Yugma at the bottom. But if you do text chat, it may be important that you have that. Now, if you have a larger screen real estate, then no problem. But if you're working from a laptop and the screen is 800 or 900 pixels tall, you may actually have to hide your panels at the top and or the bottom to be able to see everything. And I'm not even sure that gives you the full Yugma window.
If you subscribe, do you get a more comfortable window to work in?
I don't think so. I think they just take the ad off the bottom.
Oh, okay.
And that'll reduce the screen real estate a little bit in the window.
Or increase the screen real estate.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So, but you still, if the screen size is exactly the same without the ad, you're still not able to see where you can type in the text message that you might want to use for a chat.
Yeah.
So that could be a problem there. Maybe if I were to hide my top and bottom panels, that would work. But hey, I'm not about to try it because I don't need it. We got a better solution.
Right.
Okay, moving on. The next one is a tool called Vue, and it's not spelled as you would normally expect.
No, you got to screw these things up.
Of course, this is the internet, right?
Yeah.
So how do you spell it, Tom?
V-Y-E-W.
Right.
I think they asked an immigrant or a four-year-old, and they transcribed this directly onto the screen from the crayon and paper that the child scrawled it on. So, V YEW.
Yeah, their website is certainly not crayon and paper, but they've got a very nice website and a very nice interface. But one of the limitations with Vue is that it appears to be a way to make only presentations or collaboration, but not, it's not designed for the help
remote
professional.
Remote desktop, yeah.
Yeah, there doesn't appear to be any way to do screen sharing. So I may be wrong, and if I am wrong, I'm sure our listeners will correct us here. But
that happened once.
Yeah, more than once. And they're correcting me, and this time they'll be correcting me, so that's fine. Go ahead, correct me. But I haven't found a way to make it a helpful tool for a help desk sort of person. So we'll kind of bypass Vue as well.
Yeah.
And the next one is one that we've mentioned on the show before, and we had high hopes for this one. It's called WizHelp, and we'll provide a link to it in the show notes. I'm not sure why we're doing that, because WizHelp is dead.
Oh, but there's still a link?
There is a link. Their website is still up as of the recording of this show, but the only thing that you see on the website
is I'm looking at it, yeah. I warmly thanks all the users of WizHelp. Unfortunately, yep. I don't have the time nor the resources to keep the website up. And then he gives his email address. And yeah, that's dead.
Yeah, so,
Too bad. So sad.
He may be still making the last release of WizHelp available, or maybe he's just shut it all down. But bottom line is that one's not going to receive much help or support. Yeah. I tried it once or twice, and it was a little bit clunky, as I remember. Maybe he's improved it. It's been a while.
Okay.
But let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And another one that begins with the letter Y. Yugyu.
And, of course, the spelling on this one is obvious.
Of course. Go ahead, Tom. Spell it.
Yugyu.
How else would you spell it?
How else would you spell it? Why don't you just name one of these things Tom?
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so Yugyu is another one of these that is very good for screen sharing, but doesn't appear to have remote control. And if you're the kind of support professional that once you get somebody on the phone, you can communicate with them very effectively and you can help them to solve their own problems, then Yugyu might be for you, because it works with Mac and Windows and Linux, and it works quite nicely according to their website. And I did try it out quite a few months ago, and it was quite functional as a web conference and collaborative tool. And many of these that are just collaborative tools also have free audio connections over the internet, so they may provide a VoIP type phone number that your the person you're supporting can call you on, or so you can make the voice connection too. But this one doesn't have the I want to take control of your computer and just get this done for you sort of support.
Okay. And I see it's available for Ubuntu, Fedora, SUSE, and then it's got plain vanilla deb packages in 32 and 64, and plain vanilla RPM packages in 32 and 64.
Yeah. So, and it's quite supported on the most recent versions of the other operating systems as well. So, if that's the kind of tool you're looking for, a very good tool to use.
Cool.
Yeah. The next one I have not used. It's called ISL Lite, and it is designed specifically for remote desktop support. And it works with Linux and Mac OS X and Windows. And they have an online version as well. Very nice demo on their website, a video of how it works, and it looks really slick.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at this demo, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
And we're back, and that's pretty impressive, Larry.
Yeah, very impressive. The downside here, of course, is that after your free trial, you have to buy.
Oh, looks pretty sensational.
Yeah.
It'll go through firewalls, and you can do file transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on. It looks pretty sensational. How much is it? Do you know? You will
have the site open.
I'm reopening it.
Oh, okay.
Customers, products. Well, I am not seeing a price. All right. Well, after delving into that a little bit, we don't know how much it costs.
Yeah.
They're not telling you, or they're not making it really obvious on their homepage. So let's move along, Larry.
Yeah.
It looks like a great package. It's free to start, and then it costs something.
Yeah. We don't know what.
We don't know what.
And the last one on our list is...
Drumroll.
TeamViewer.
Yay!
Yes. TeamViewer. This is the one that's in our list of alternative software that has the highest number of votes. And what am I talking about here, highest number of votes, Tom?
The different applications have their own web pages, and they have like buttons. So if you like what you see, you can click the like button, which I've never used and don't understand. But lots and lots of people clicked on TeamViewer, lots more than anybody else.
Yes, like 10 times more than the nearest one to it.
Right.
Okay, so Tom, in the remaining time that we have, I thought that we would give some of these a try, but since TeamViewer is the one with the largest number of votes here, I think we should give it a try. But just a couple of notes on TeamViewer before we get started.
Yeah, let's do that.
When we look at the Alternative2.net site, the TeamViewer application is on the top, as we've provided the link in the show notes, and the little hover blue ball with the eye on it over Linux. If you hover your mouse over that, it says Linux version bundles Windows version of TeamViewer with Wine.
Oh.
So the way they're implementing this is that they are running it from within a dedicated version of Wine. So I don't know whether this is going to look good or, you know, there have been other programs out there that have done this same sort of thing, including some from Google. When Google Earth first came out for Linux, it was bundled with a custom version of Wine, and it worked just fine. So, you know, for the Linux purists, this one's going to feel icky.
Icky.
Yeah,
that's the technical term, folks.
Yes, exactly.
And for you people overseas, don't look in your dictionary.
You may not find it. Yeah. So for those of us who are a little more practical about things and just want things to work, this might be the alternative for you.
Let's try it out. I'm on their download page right now.
Okay.
And it says download a dev version, 32-bit, and I'm clicking that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, okay, I'm getting a warning here. This type of file can harm your computer. Are you sure you want to download the Debian file? Yes.
And while we're waiting for that to download, just a couple of things here. TeamViewer has a free version, and they have paid versions as well. And I've heard a lot of good things about the TeamViewer application from those folks that I know that support Windows computers, and it under Windows, at least, it works extremely well, very popular, paid version or free version, doesn't matter. So if you are planning to be a computer tech who is supporting and helping users of Linux computers, you'll probably want to get the paid version just so you're not contravening any license. But if you're just helping folks for free, your friends and family and so on, the free version is free for non-commercial use, and that would be, in my opinion, non-commercial use. So I would expect the free version would work just fine.
Yeah, it's looking that way. I've got my GW installer open now. It says TeamViewer is a remote control application, provides easy, fast, and secure remote access to Linux, Windows, PCs, and Macs. Free for personal use, use it completely free. To buy a license for commercial use, please visit blah, blah, blah. So, I am going to click on Install Package.
Right.
And it wants my password, of course. Because in Linux, nothing can install without your permission. And that's happening. I got a progress bar. It's installing. Now I got a boing boing bar. One of those deals that jumps back and forth.
Okay. And we are doing all of this in real time.
In real life. And of course, recording it, so yeah. It's not your real time, it's our real time.
It's time shifted real time.
Right.
The duration is real time.
Yes. And once again, the answer is 42.
Mm-hmm.
Installation finished.
All right. And so that didn't take too long.
No. Installation complete, and I'm closing the package manager. And now I'm going to go look for the thing under applications. Let's see. How about internet? And that's TeamViewer. Yeah. TeamViewer. There it is.
And I've got it already installed. And when I open the TeamViewer window, it comes up with something on the left that says wait for session. And then something on the right that says create session. The one on the left provides an ID and a password, and the one on the right provides a way to enter in the ID and the password from the other person, and three radio buttons, remote support, presentation, and file transfer, and a button that says connect to partner. So it's a pretty straightforward interface. And for something that runs in Wine...
It's pretty straightforward, but I'm not understanding it.
Okay. So the way you would use this is... One person has the ID number, and the other person uses that ID number to connect.
Okay.
So my ID number, for example, is 250.
I'm going to type that in.
Yep.
250. Yep.
So I'm reading it from where it's displayed on the left on right. My screen, and Tom's typing it on the right-hand side in his screen. So 250-756.
Okay.
614. Yes.
Now, which one of those deals do I want to click of those three radio buttons?
Well, let's assume we have a remote support situation going on. So go ahead and select remote support and click to connect to partner. That's the button.
I've got it.
And is it asking you for a password?
Why, yes, Larry, now that you mention it, yes, it is.
And the password is...
Ready?
4098.
4098. And I'm clicking the log on button.
Okay, ooh, and my little box interface went away.
I am looking at your... Audacity recording this session.
Aha. Uh-huh. Very nice. So let me see how this works then. So you would be the person providing remote support to me, apparently. So is there a way then for you to take control of my computer and just drag that window somewhere?
Let's see if I can do that. First of all, I've got a warning up.
Uh-huh.
Because I tried to use a keyboard shortcut, and it said, from now on, please activate the scroll lock on your keyboard to activate this option. Okay, never mind. I'm going to ignore that. What happened was I had zoomed in with CompIz. All right, let's see if I can drag your window.
Oh, I can see my mouse moving, and you dragged it.
I'm a son of a gun. Well, that just works beautiful.
Wow, it does.
It's, so let me maximize this window because it's a little hard to see. All right. Still a little hard to see, but I can use CompIz. Let me see if I can use CompIz to zoom in. Yeah, and then I get the warning again.
Hmm.
But forget the warning. It works fine. I can zoom in on wherever I want.
Okay. So how do you disconnect now? Let me see. I can take control back of my mouse just by dragging it. And it ready to connect. Mine doesn't show anything on my screen that indicates that it's connected, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking around on my... I've got actions, views, file transfer, and extras.
Huh.
And I've also got a little X, so I think that's where we hang up, is if I hit that X. But let's see what actions does. Switch sides with partner.
Oh, let's try that.
Let's do that.
Oh, and now I'm seeing your desktop.
And you're controlling it.
And I can move the TeamViewer little window around. Yep. Interesting. Okay, so that's good. So we can actually make the connection in either direction and switch it back and forth.
I do have, Larry, as long as you're looking at my desktop, see on the lower right? It says free license, non-commercial use only, and I have the option of hanging up or something. Maybe functions also.
All right.
So let's see if I can... What's functions? Voice over IP, chat, conference call.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, now you're starting voice over IP and we're going to start a phone conversation on top of our phone conversation?
No, I didn't start it. Okay. Enable or disable remote input. Okay, so move my mouse a little bit.
Me?
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to go down and click on disable remote input, and I'll move my mouse a little bit.
Mine's moving, but I don't see it using moving yours.
Okay. All right. Very, very cool.
Ah. I like this.
I like it a lot.
Yes. I was going to say exactly the same thing. Okay, so show me where you hang up, sir.
You should have a menu up near the top center.
Here?
Extras? It should be. I can't see it, but it should be up here.
I can't see your mouse. Ooh, that's interesting. I can't see you moving your mouse.
That's odd. Okay. Well, I think you can come down here and click the X.
Down here. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I can see the results of what you do. I just can't see your mouse pointer. And maybe that's because I can see
your mouse pointer, and it would just be way too confusing.
So if I turn that off...
You just disabled it, and now you can't do anything.
Right, but now if you'll move your mouse, can I see your mouse? No.
I'm moving it. No.
I cannot.
But it's not necessary for you to see my mouse. It would be confusing, I would think.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's our quick review of TeamViewer. Why don't you go ahead and disconnect us?
Oh, you go ahead and do it.
Okay, I can do that. And nothing happened.
There it did.
There we go. I just didn't click enough.
This was a free sponsored session. Please note that free sessions are available for non-commercial use only. Thank you for playing fair. So that's nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of nag-wary, but that's fine.
No, that's fine. But I had another dialog box that came up just as you were reading that one on my screen that was different, and it said, do you want to, and it's gone now.
Oh.
It said something to the effect, do you want to choose a different password next time? So are you reconnecting?
Yeah, I just reconnected, and now I will disconnect, and you can read whatever that was. And
now I don't.
And this time it didn't come up.
See it, of course. Yes. So let me see if there are some options here to do that. Let me check under extras, options. Okay, so under options, we have a display name. We have incoming LAN connections is deactivated. You can configure your proxy settings, security, password, confirm password, permanent password for unattended access. Ah, so you could install this on another computer and you would have the ability to access it remotely. Let's see what else we have here. So password strength, your options are standard 4 digits, secure 6 characters, very secure 10 characters, and disable no password.
That would be a bad thing.
I would think so. So blacklist and whitelist. Opens a dialog box to configure the black or white list. Use this only if you want to block some users out. And, of course, the bubble went away. Or enable only a few to connect to your machine. Okay. All right. And then access control, you can choose full access, confirm all, view and show, custom settings, no incoming connections allowed. Which, why would you select that?
I don't know.
Maybe to turn it off.
To toggle it off and on, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so let's see. Remote control. automatic quality control selection, optimize quality, optimize speed, and custom settings. All right. So
lots of stuff to play with here.
Yeah. So what I'm looking for is that password thing. So let me quickly look through. So there are some selections for presentation quality. And there are a partner list, offline partners, bunch of other settings that I'm going to have to look at later. Audio.
This is going to be great for my sister, who sometimes has trouble with her Windows machine up in Sheboygan.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to explain, especially when I haven't run Windows in years, so I don't really remember what she should be seeing.
Yes.
So that's gorgeous.
Okay, and audio selections, you can choose, if you have more than one audio input or output device, you can choose which one to use. Custom invitations, so you can send people invitations to join.
It does video too or no?
Don't see video.
Well,
I do see audio. Yeah. General advanced settings, display language, enable logging, enable connection logging, temporary save connection passwords. Wait. Advanced settings for connection to other computers. Temporarily save connection passwords. Automatically minimize local team viewer panel.
One thing I do have to say about it, when you were looking at my screen, I'm sure you saw great big text. When I was looking at yours, it was very tiny. Plus, you're probably using a dual screen something, huh?
I am, yes.
I was seeing both screens side by side.
Ah, very nice.
Well, very nice, except the resolution is bad.
Right, because you have to squeeze all of that
right
into your screen, which isn't the same resolution
right
as my dual screen. So the other thing you might want to look for is the ability to scale the screen.
Yeah.
Or zoom in. Of course, you could use CompIS on a GNOME desktop.
That's too what I did. I zoomed in, but even then, the text was kind of difficult to read and broken up because
yeah,
the resolution just doesn't there.
Yeah.
However, most people are not going to be running two monitors,
mm-hmm,
so that's going to be a rare problem.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, I also noticed that you can record the sessions and play them back.
Excellent. Okay, I give it 10 thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't have 10 thumbs, but I'll put all my fingers up. And my thumbs. Okay, so TeamViewer, you get a A+ from us too.
Yep.
So there you go.
Cross-platform. It just works. Good stuff.
And we'll have links to all this stuff in our show notes. And, of course, if all you want to do is use the out-of-the-box, comes with Linux, very little configuration required, you can go to our article that we have created on remote desktop. And that is goinglinux.com/article/remotedesktop.html. Or just go there from our articles link.
And Larry, do you have a software pick this week?
Yes, I do. TeamViewer.
TeamViewer.
How about yours, Tom?
That's a coincidence, Larry.
So is yours.
My pick is TeamViewer also. I like it a lot. I had no idea what to expect, and I wasn't disappointed.
Nicely put, Tom. All right, and our next episode?
Yeah, what's that going to be?
That'll be a Computer America episode. It'll be number 30. And until then, you can go to our articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Computer America, that's where they discuss movies and Windows stuff.
Oh, come on. When I'm on, at least I get them to talk about Linux for a little bit of the time. But they do talk about movies and other stuff, unfortunately. I'm trying to edit that stuff out, by the way, Tom, as much as possible.
Leave it in there so we all know what's really going on behind the scenes.
I don't know.
Just kill the commercials.
Well, yeah, and for my two-hour appearance, I can get it down. If I leave all the discussion of movies and all the other crud in there, I can get it down to maybe just over an hour.
Sure.
So there's an hour's worth of content presented over a two-hour time span.
Right.
Yeah.
So on with the spiel. You can email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on their site.
And we've received quite a few topic suggestions from Podcast Alley, so thank you. And you can also send us an audio comment by email or using our voicemail line. We'll play your comments on the show either way. You can email those comments to us using our email address, and that is goinglinux@gmail.com. And our voicemail line is +1-904-468-7889. And on a U.S. telephone's keyboard, I've been told that in some countries, the letters are
different.
Put on different keys, just like they are on computer keyboards.
Okay.
But in the U.S. and Canada, you can type 1-904-4-OUR-TUX. And no, it's not a tuxedo shop. It's us.
It's us. And you can follow our show updates on Twitter and Identica. We are Going Linux, all one word. You can download episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player to play them right there on the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as those new episodes are available. For instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast to make all of that happen, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
New music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.